Rosh Hashanah, Chaf Zayin Amud Aleph. Let's get right into where we left off. And that is about 10 lines from the bottom, where the Gemara quotes a passage from our Mishnah. The Mishnah was talking about the different shofar that is used for Rosh Hashanah, and then we have a shofar that is used for Yovel on Yom Kippur every 50th year. So the Mishnah was saying that there are some similarities and there are some differences. The difference is that the shofar that's used for Rosh Hashanah is not at all the same as the shofar that is used on Yom Kippur. That's a pretty big difference. That's not a similarity. The similarity, says the Mishnah, is Shava Hayovel Rosh Hashanah L'Tkia U'Lebracha. The amount of Tkia is the amount, the form of blowing that you do is the same between Rosh Hashanah and Yovel. And also the brachas that are recited on Malchias, Zechronos, and Shofars that you say on Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara assumes you say those as well on Yom Kippur, on Yovel. So the Gemara now comments on that passage in our Mishnah. Amar Reb Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, Kiman Matzlinan Ha'idna, who are we saying in our tefillah, in Malchias, Zechronos, Shofars that we say on Rosh Hashanah? We enter in there a line that says, Zeh Hayom Tchilas Ma'asecha, today is the Tchilas Ma'asecha, today is the beginning of when the world was created, Zikar on the Yom Rishon, and now we're commemorating the fact of that original Yom Rishon when the world was created, when the world was first begun. So who is the author of that line in our tefillah? Who said that that's true? Who said that the world was created on Rosh Hashanah? We have a machlokas earlier one in the Masechta. That machlokas, I believe, is on Yud Amud Beis, Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. The Gemara talks about Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua. When was the world created? Was it created in Tishrei or was it created in Nisan? Now, this is a very complicated issue because we all know that HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chadashim, Rishon Hu Lachem L'Chad She'ashana, when is that? Nisan. So, really, it would seem to be that the world probably started Nisan time, otherwise, why do we start our count from then? So, Rabbi Yeshua does seem to be right. On the other hand, we say, Zeh Hayom Tchilas Ma'asecha, in our davening on Rosh Hashanah, which sounds like the world was created on Rosh Hashanah. So, what exactly is the story? That's the machlokas on Yud Amud Beis, Yud Aleph Amud Aleph earlier in the Masechta. But here the Gemara says it would seem to be an indication from the fact that in our tefillah on Rosh Hashanah we say, Zeh Hayom Tchilas Ma'asecha, that today is the beginning. Today is the commemoration for when the world was created. It would seem to be an indication that we paskin like Rebbe Elazar. Rebbe Elazar is of the opinion that the world was created in Tishrei. From the fact that we say that in our tefillah, it would seem that Rebbe Elazar is correct. Says the Gemara, Kiman, who is that like Rebbe Elazar? That is going like the opinion of Rebbe Elazar. The Amar, the Rebbe Elazar says, B'tishrei nivra ha'olam. The world was created in Tishrei and not in Nisan, and that's why on Rosh Hashanah it makes sense to say, Zeh Hayom Tchilas Ma'asecha, because this is the commemoration of when the world was originally created. What do you mean they changed it? So when was the world created? Correct. That something changed.
It was changed.
Right, so that's a strange kind of thing. Meaning on the one hand we say this is the beginning of the year, then on the other hand we say that's the beginning of the year. So why don't we also change the davening? Why don't we also change the davening? So this is you have to figure it out. When we learn Daf Yud, maybe, we'll talk about that. How do you figure out exactly what's going on? When is the world created? Anyway, so says the Gemara, this is going like the opinion of Rebbe Elazar. Now we understand this Rosh Hashanah when we're going to daven, and we're going to say, Zeh Hayom Tchilas Ma'asecha, we'll understand what it is that we're saying. We're making a commemoration today on Rosh Hashanah because many, many thousands of years ago the world was created. Says the Gemara, how can that be? Masa Ravina. Ravina asked the following kasha, Shava Hayovel Rosh Hashanah, Litkia Ulebrachos. We said in our Mishnah that there are some halachas that are similar between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur of Yovel, and some halachas that are different. One halacha that was different that we mentioned was, what shofar are you supposed to use? However, there were two halachas that were similar, and that is number one, the Malchias Achronos shofars that you say on Rosh Hashanah, you also say on Yom Kippur Shel Yovel. And also, the formulation of the tkios that you do on Rosh Hashanah is the same formulation you're going to do on Yom Kippur Shel Yovel. Ask the Gemara, how can you carry over the brachos of Malchias Achronos shofars that we say on Rosh Hashanah, how can you carry that over to Yom Kippur? If you say, Zeh Hayom Tchilas Ma'asecha, that's not on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is 10 days later. Okay. So the Gemara says, V'ha'ika, don't we have the pasuk, Zeh Hayom Tchilas Ma'asecha, Zikar on the Yom Rishon, Dibur Rosh Hashanah, Isa, B'yobalesa. So what do you mean? You're telling me that we say the same Nusach of Shemana Esrei on Rosh Hashanah and in Yom Kippur? How can you say the same Nusach? You're not talking about the same day. And how do we enter in on Yom Kippur the pasuk that's referring to Rosh Hashanah? So the Gemara, you're right, Ki Katani, when does our Mishnah say that everything is similar, everything is identical between the tefillah on Rosh Hashanah and the tefillah on Yom Kippur, that is Ashara. That's on everything else that the Mishnah is talking about, and on all the other parts of Malchus Achron HaShofers. But you're right, this one very line that we insert into the davening on Rosh Hashanah, that's the only part that we leave out on Yom Kippur. But otherwise, everything's exactly the same. Okay? Now the Gemara says, Rav Shisha Vereidu Rav Idi Masni Hachi, Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, he's going to say exactly the same thing, just in a different formulation. But basically, he's coming to the same conclusion. Ha ditnan, this that it says in our Mishnah, Shava Hayovel Rosh Hashanah Litkiyah Lebrachos, this that our Mishnah says, that Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are the same, with regard to the formulation of the tkiyos that you do, and with regard to the brachas of Malchus Achron HaShofros, kiman, delok Rebbe Elazar, must be not like Rebbe Elazar, because Rebbe Elazar is of the opinion, de amar b'tishrei nivra ha'olam. And therefore he says, how could it be? Ha'ika zeh yom tchilas masecha zikaron liyom rishon, to b'Rosh Hashanah yisev yovel leisa. So this cannot be going like Rebbe Elazar. So the Gemara says, ki katani ashar. So that's basically the same Gemara that we just had, just formulated a little differently. I want to go through now a very beautiful piece here. It's a little bit of a Jewish, but it's a very important piece. Something to keep in mind, since we're coming up to Rosh Hashanah, and we're talking about Zeh Hayom Tchilas Ma'asecha. So our Gemara says, the simple understanding of the words are, Zeh Hayom Tchilas Ma'asecha, this is the first day from when the world was created. That's the commemoration that we make on Rosh Hashanah. But perhaps something a little bit additional to think about, to consider, this coming Rosh Hashanah is this mashal that's brought over here. This is a mashal that's brought in the Sefer Lekach Tov, and it's a mashal that is a mashal from the Bali Musar. And I think it's a very potent mashal. So we look here on the first part of the copy. You look down to the second to last paragraph on the first sheet. The heading of the sheet is Sicha Samaches. And then you have a paragraph that starts Hadvar Mizbaru. Everyone has it? Hadvar Mizbaru. If you don't have a copy, I think there are still some on the Bima. We'll wait a second. Anybody not have? Are there more on the Bima? Okay, great. So we start with the second to last paragraph. Hadvarim yizbaru heitev al pi mashal la'adam shahayelo mifal gadol. So he says, conjure up in your mind for a minute somebody who has a factory. Mifal gadol, he's running a big factory, a big business. Asher halach v'shikshig, and he's going and thriving, he's advancing. Asher kana la'atmo shem odi, until he becomes an international company. And Everybody is inquiring about his product. Everybody wants to buy it. Everyone wants to have a part of it. Miyom liyom, every single day, gadol v'halach mispar ha'hazmanos shehigiyo mikol katzvei tevel. He has orders. He has inquiries coming in from all over the world. Everyone is making use of his company. Why is that? Bezchus Hashem tov sheyatzel totzeres. Because now in the field, in the business world, everybody has heard what a good product they sell, and how wonderful the customer service is. Begal hasheirus hayail v'hamehemon shehaya lelo dofi. Anyone who has ever inquired has had excellent service, wonderful customer service, and therefore everybody has known to come for this product. So, la'achar shanim achados, after a couple of years pass, shal shikshuk v'hatzlacha, when they're doing very well and everything's on the up, everything's advancing, Hechelu lehagia tlunos. So now the company starts to deflate a little bit, and people begin to complain. Lukuchos mimekomo shonim ba'olam, that you have customers from all over the world. Hibiu bedrachim shonos as isvius ritzonam mitiv haschor. They're all registering their dissatisfaction in the product. They're not happy any longer with the service that they're getting. They're not happy anymore with the product that they got. Everyone is registering complaints. You say that you're open from Sunday to Friday. I don't understand. I called on a Tuesday afternoon. Nobody's answering. You said that I can call till 9 o'clock at night. How come I called 5 times at 7 o'clock in the evening and nobody was there? So everyone is registering complaints. Nowadays you make a Facebook campaign and that's it. The company is out of business. That's the end of the story. So that's basically what he's describing. Ma karolachem shalu alakuchos. Everyone is, you know, posting on Facebook, wondering what's going on, what's with this company, they're not reliable anymore. B'machsanei ha'mif'al nermu arimos shal schor puguma shehuchzera. Everyone's coming in, returning the merchandise, returning the product, nobody's happy anymore. Everyone sees that the product is a faulty product. V'higiu ha'dvarim ad kedei kach, and things got so bad, till it got to the point shechele gadol mehalakuchos, that most of the regular customers that used to buy the product from us, they started going to the competitors. They started to go to other stores because if I can't get served well here, if I don't have a good product and I'm not being taken care of, I'll go somewhere else. So that's what's happening. You used to have this company that was top of the world, top of the line. Everyone knew about them. And now the whole company plunged into a terrible deflation and everything's going down. So the story goes on like this. Kasher bal hamif'al nuchach ladas shehar avachim yardu pliim. So now the owner of the company, the CEO, sees, I used to have this prosperous company and everybody was buying it and was inquiring all the time. All of a sudden, my stocks are down. He doesn't understand what's going on. So he says, Hechlit al hakamas vadas mumchim. He hires some sort of investigative committee. Vitisbarer es pesher ha'inyin. He wants to find out, how can I get my company to be on the up again? After all, we were doing great. Everyone was happy. We were selling a great product. And all of a sudden, people are not interested. So he puts together this investigative committee. Havada hechela miyad ba'avadasa. They take their job very seriously, this committee. V'chakra b'yisodiyas l'kucho. So they start to look into all the different kinds of customers that used to buy. Paulim u'menale avoda. And they start to interview also not only the customers, but also the workers in the factory, and also the administrators in the factory. Chevre havada gam siru b'mif'al atzmo. The committee also decided to take a tour of the factory itself. Maybe there's something faulty in the machinery. Kedei lama mikarav, in order to get an insider perspective al matzav hamachonos, in order that they should understand what's going on the inner workings of the product. Maybe there's something faulty in the machinery that we're using. Charitzas hapolim, they wanted to see the dedication of the workers that are working there. Umasiras manale hamachlakot hashonot. Look, you have a company that has many different factions, many different parts. We have to identify, we have to isolate where the problem might be coming from. So they were investigating each particular part of the company, making sure that all the workers there were giving them interviews, making sure they were looking into every part of the company they possibly could. Kasher simu es avodasam. When they finally finished all this work, higishu, what do you say, drush v'chidush? Right, so what do you say? Is that what it is? What? A report. So they file a report, aruch, a very long report, a mufurat, very detailed report. Labala mifal, they go to the CEO, they hand him the report, they say, look, we did our investigation for a few months, we looked up on everything, we checked up on all the people that were relevant to the investigation, and here is the report. Bala mifal karas haduch bi'iyun rav. So he puts great attention, great focus into this report. After all, his company's down the drain. He wants to make sure that he can find out what's wrong. Vinidham, and he is shocked. Limtsobo dvarim shelo hele klal al daito. He finds out that he had no idea what was going on behind his back. He had no idea what was happening under his nose. He didn't know what his workers in his own company were doing. His barer, it turns out, Shakol hischil me rashlanus poshas umeila beimun shachevrei hahanhala. So he had a bunch of administrators at the top of the company, and it turned out that they were being lazy, that they were slacking off a little bit, and because of them, that trickled down to all the people who worked in the factory as well. B'makom lidog li tafkido hatov v'hayoyel shahamif'al l'kidumo. Instead of trying to pay attention to the advancement and to the company being able to prosper, hey, dog, rock, that's mom. They're worrying about their own paychecks. They're worrying about their vacation. They're worrying about all their own things, and they're not paying attention to what they have to do. Chelak niker meharvachim hem shilshulu lekisam. Much of the money that was coming in, they somehow were putting into their own pockets. They were somehow swindling the owner, the CEO. Mimbeli ledaveach lebala mifal. They weren't discussing it with the owner. They were taking raises on their own, and they weren't discussing anything. Kemokin hem nitzlu as ma'am adam lenasios tekufos. In B'nai Mishpachtam Lechol, they said that they were billing business trips, and instead they were going on all kinds of vacations. They said, oh, we have a customer out in the Canadian Rockies who we have to meet. What are you going to Canadian Rockies? Who lives out there? Who's ordering an air conditioner? Nobody. Nobody lives out there. But we have to travel there on business. They were making up stories. B'masveh, and they were hiding it, shal nasiya l'tzarach kidim in yanei ha'mefal. They told the CEO, hey, what do you mean? We got to travel, meet the customers. Customer service, very important. But meanwhile, they were all taking care of themselves. V'heim yatzi l'masei tanugas ba'olam ha'cheshban ha'mefal. Hisna gusam ha'klokeles shel ha'menahalim. This terribly destructive kind of attitude that they had on the top of the company, hishpia gama sharovdim, it trickled down, and this is the way everybody began to work. Musar ha'avodah. I never knew that's how you call a work ethic, right? Is that what it is? So we call it a work ethic. I guess that's how you say it in Hebrew also. Musar ha'avodah, the work ethic, nasa yarid mod. It was plunging. It was terrible. Paulim nedru me'avodah yam shleimim. They say, hey, if my administrator's packing out and going on a vacation, I also don't have to show up. He's not going to know if I'm here anyway. Gam b'yam shabod ha'avodah. Even the days that they did show up, Hayimagim be'ichor, they came late. Va'ovdim ba'atzal tayim, they were being lazy. They weren't doing the job as they were supposed to. Hamachonos lo tuplu kayes, and because of that, nobody was looking carefully into the machinery to make sure it was up to date. Atcher rabos mehem yatzu mechla pu'ula shebeli sheyidegu la'achlifan. Nobody was caring about the parts. You know, the copying machine was out of ink. Nobody was refilling it, and this was a problem, and that screw fell out, and everything was going wrong. Nobody was paying attention. B'metzias aguma shekazu, in this terribly unfortunate situation, barur haya madua hamif'al hisdardor kolkach. Once you see this investigative report, you understand why everything fell apart. You understand why they have a faulty product and why no one's interested anymore. Amnam nimtzu povisham paul and bodidim. He found in the report that here and there was somebody who was loyal to the company, who was doing what they were supposed to do. Asher osu malachtam be'amuna achayuzochem lekitonos shel laag ubuz mitzad shahar ovdim. So you have one guy who comes in very serious with his bag on time every day, never leaves early, never comes late. Everybody's making fun of him. Come on, you never take a vacation. Everybody's taking advantage. Come on, you never take a few things from the factory. Take something, you know, not a big deal. Get yourself a raise. Everyone's making fun of him because he's the only one, or a couple of people are the only ones in a big factory, in a big company, who are taking their job seriously. Bahamifal, after reading this whole report, Hesik miyad es hamaskanos hamizbakshos. So he decides, what am I going to do? Now that I see the report and I see my company is down the drain, he decides to do the following. Hodia, he lets everybody know, askiras hamifal. That's it, closing down the business, not interested in running this company anymore. Ubo bayom nishlechu miftave piturim lechal alfei havdim. He has thousands of workers, but he sends a pick slip to everybody, and he tells them, no longer have a job, we're closing down the factory. Bimakbil, at the same time that he sends out the letter that the factory is closing and the company is out of business, Hodia bala mifal, he also sends out a second letter on the same day, al psichas hamifal nechadash. He sends out a letter that, by the way, I'm opening a company tomorrow that's going to be called a different name, that's going to be making the same product. Yom echad achas giraza. It's going to open tomorrow morning. Today this company is dead. Today the company is closed. You're all fired. Tomorrow we're going to open another one that's making the same exact thing. B'derech zu, and this way, hivtiach la'atzmo chofesh pu'ula. V'yecholos limnos balei tafkidim b'mifa l'firos enav. Now he says, we're going to look carefully before we hire anybody, and this is how we're going to determine whether or not you deserve to be hired. It's not just going to be, oh, I have a big company, I got to fill the seats, I got to fill the chairs, I have to get secretaries. No. We're going to make sure before anybody comes into the new business that we really look into you beforehand to find out how ethical you are. Mu'amadaso shall call me shemavakish lachser v'labar mi'vifal. Oh yeah, you worked for me in the past? You want to have a right to have a place in my new business, in my new company? You better prove yourself. Tibochein la'oris nagusa b'meshach shanim ha'achronos. We're going to look into your previous history. We're going to look into how ethical you acted when we had the last company that was here. Hamanalim, hamushchasim, these terrible administrators that were there before, bevadai lo yikabel drishas regal b'mifal ha'chadash. They certainly are the first ones out, because they're the ones who made everything fall apart, so they have no chance. Es makomam yitvesu osam yichidim shegilu ne'amanus la'orach kal ha'derech. Who's going to go in their place? Those nebuch, those losers who used to come to work and take the job seriously, who everybody made fun of, they're the ones who are now going to step up and get the fancy position, because they're the ones who were truthful to the job. Heim yisku gam heim b'habotos miyuchados kegon dior bigur d'me kalkala kiprasal ha'avar ubeikar kadei sheyuchlu l'mali tafkidem karoi ba'asid. He's going to pay them nicely, he's going to give them a great salary, in order to show them how appreciative he is that they took the job seriously beforehand, and now that they're going to take the company to a new heights. Shar ha'polim, everybody else, yuchlu gamken l'kabal tafkidem. Everybody else in the middle has a chance, maybe you'll be able to take the job. Ulam lefneken yistarchu lo'achiyach esnei amanusim. You're going to have to go through a very serious process before we decide to rehire you, because we don't know exactly what your story is. So this is the mashal that the Bali Musar gives. What's the nimshal? So you look at the next paragraph. Ha-nimshal, such a powerful mashal. Ha-mifal hu olam ha-shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We live in a world which is like the giant factory of the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. Ha-menahel es ha-kol, he's the CEO of Kulanu Avadam, and all of us are on his payroll, so to speak. And we're all at his mercy. And we're all trying to get whatever we can out of the company. Just like in a factory, everybody has their own job and their own way that they're going to contribute to the final product, so too, each one of us has also our particular position, our particular job that we're expected to do, which is laharbos kvod shamayim ish ish v'mekomo uve'amado kifi yechalto v'kishron osav. Each person has a different job. Our ultimate job is to bring about the product, to bring about the Kavod Shamayim. That's what we're here to do. But each person has their own way of doing that. Each person is given their own venue, their own talents, their own kishron, and that's how they're supposed to come about. Rosh Hashanah hu Yom Haras Olam. Rosh Hashanah is the day when the world was created, which means Bo Nivra HaAdam Umeaz Haya Hashem Melech BeOlama. Ma'agel Hashanah, the circle of life that we live through, that we experience, Machzir Osana Bechal Shana El Oso Yom Shenemar Alav B'Tfilas Musaf She Rosh Hashanah Ze Hayom Tchilas Ma'asecha. Once a year we have an opportunity on Rosh Hashanah to say we're closing down the factory and we're starting again. Kilomar. B'chol shana soger HaKadosh Baruch Hu es mefalo upos hamechadash. Everybody failed me. I know you didn't live up to your expectation. I know that you were going on vacations that you weren't supposed to take and billing them on business hours. I know that you were doing all kinds of things that would not make me proud. So we're going to close down the factory, close down the business. You're all out of a job. So we start off baseline Rosh Hashanah, when the company starts again, nobody has a job. Nobody has a right to live life at all. That's the baseline assumption. Now you're going to have to prove why God should keep you alive to be a part of the new company he's going to make for next year. Zeh Hayom Tchilas Ma'asecha doesn't only mean this was the original time when the world was created so many thousands of years ago. That's not just the only thing that we commemorate on Rosh Hashanah. But Zeh Hayom Tchilas Ma'asecha also means that today is like the first day that the company is beginning. And all of us were thrown out of the old one. And the only way that we'll have a chance in being able to have a position in the new company, a position in this world, or an opportunity to do anything in the world, is if we prove to the Ribbono Shel Olam that we really deserve to be here. If we really live up to the work ethic. If we really live up to the expectation that he really wants us to live up to. Let's keep reading. Hapolim sheyimtzu ne'amanim u'mesurim. Those of us who will come through that serious investigation, and the answer really will be that we were ethical and we had a good work ethic, yiskablu beratzon lemifal hachadash. Why wouldn't the CEO want to take us back into the new company? We were good workers before, we'll be good workers now. Va'af yo'ilu b'dargav yikablu t'nam tovim yaseh. We're going to get a raise, we'll get an upgrade, we'll get more than we did before. Why? Because God was so proud of the way we were beforehand. Even though everybody else was failing him, we were the ones who were good, so you deserve a raise. I see how much trust you had in me, I'm going to have trust in you. Ela asher lo milas tapkidam karoi. Those administrators, Rachmana Litzlan, God forbid, who really failed God in a serious way and made everybody go down, yavru l'tafkidam acherim. We're going to move them somewhere else. They're not going to have the same jobs that they had. Misha bagad umma b'tafkido yisulak min olam. He's out of the company. He's out of a job. Ki ha'olam ki ha'kadosh baruch hu eino motzi lo makom b'mifal hachadash. I'm sorry. You're out of a job. You failed me too many times. There's no room for you in the new company. All you did last time was you destroyed the company. You destroyed the product. You made all of our stocks go down. What do we need you for? We don't want you to do that again. Now that we're rebuilding. Zeh Hayom Tchilas Ma'asecha. This is when we're rebuilding a company starting from scratch. We're going to get you involved to destroy it again? I think it's a very powerful mashal. I think it's something to consider. Rosh Hashanah, nitanas lechal echad his damnus miyuchedas. Each one of us has an opportunity. Lekras pichas hamifal mechadash. As we go and we experience the reopening of God's kaviyachal of His company, kedei lekva keitza lechalek es hatafkidim. We have the opportunity, and here we are only a few weeks away from Rosh Hashanah. We have the opportunity to decide for ourselves what kind of job we are going to be given. What kind of job is God going to entrust us with in His new company? The Ribbono Shel Olam passes everybody who's worthy of being considered in front of His investigative committee. Ubodek mi naman lemachuso mi ena naman, and He decides who's going to be a part of what we're going to do in the future and who's not. And even if we decide to keep you on, are you going to get an upgrade? Are you going to get a raise? Or are you going to have to unfortunately get a downgrade? Because you're somebody that we can't trust anymore the way we used to trust you. I think it's a very powerful insight to consider, and it gives a little bit more meaning when we say, Zeh Hayom Tchilas Ma'asecha. It gives it a little more of a seriousness. It's not just that once a year we have a chance to commemorate Brias HaOlam. Yeah, what does that mean to anybody? So what? So the world was created today. And therefore? But when you think about the fact that it's not just that so many years ago we had a Brias HaOlam on this very day, but rather that today, this is the reconfiguration of the way the company is going to run, of the world that we are going to possibly be able to live in the coming year, and how much trust is going to be given to us, and how much of a position we're going to be given in the new company, in the new world. That's what it means, Zeh Hayom Tchilas Ma'asecha. We have the opportunity to decide for ourselves whether or not we will get a more prosperous kind of position, a more elevated position that we had last year, or if we're going to have something that unfortunately is going to lead us to a downgrade. I think it's something to keep in mind, not just on Rosh Hashanah, but as we move toward the Rosh Hashanah season, to consider what our Gemara is teaching us about Zeh Hayom Tchilas Ma'asecha. So now, let's move a little bit further. Mishnah on Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, bottom of the Yamud. Shofar Shenizdak. So now the Mishnah is going to tell us two different sets of halachas. One is the halacha about whether or not you have a shofar that can possibly be disqualified because of its nature, because of something that's wrong with it. And the second part of the Mishnah is going to discuss whether you can have situations in which you blow the shofar, but the shofar was blown in a way that was not acceptable lahalacha. So let's see. Part number one is shofar shenizdak. Let's say I have a normal shofar, but now it gets a hole in it. Vidavko, and now I put some glue on it. Pusel. So we assume now by putting the glue on it, it is going to become pusel. Why is it going to become pusel? What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? Different cult, different sound. We showed him have a discussion about what exactly the problem is. Rashi says over here it's because it's dehavile kishnei shofaros. Shofar echad amar achmana. The Torah says you should blow a shofar from Rosh Hashanah. It doesn't say to blow two. Now you're going to have a shofar and glue. That's like two different shofars. Okay. Dibek shivrei shofaros. Let's say I take all the different particles of shofar and let's say I have crushed up shofars. I don't know why you would have such a thing. But you take all those different pieces and you glue them together and now you have one solid shofar. So the Mishnah says that is also not going to be acceptable for the mitzvah on Rosh Hashanah. Nikev v'sasmo. Let's say it gets a little hole in it and I close it up. Im ma'akev v'satkia. If now by closing up the hole it is now going to have a different kind of sound, then puzzle. Then I'm not able to use that. The imlav, but if it didn't affect the sound of the shofar at all from what it used to be when it had the hole in it, then kosher, then it doesn't make a difference. You didn't do anything different.
What's the difference between that and the first case?
So that's a very good question. What's the difference between that and the first case? So the Rishonim discuss here, shofar shenizdak, what does it mean? It means, our case over here is nikev, it just gets a little hole in it. So a little hole, if you put a little glue on that, it's not a problem. But if you have a nizdak, means it has a crack that's all the way through the shofar. In a case like that, it's as if the shofar was in two different halves or something like that, and now you're putting it together. That Rashi says is shofar echad amar achmana velo shtayim ushlosha shofaros, which the Bali Musar say also we should think about on Rosh Hashanah, how often we use our mouths and we say shtayim ushlosha shofaros. We don't stand for one thing, we're not consistent in what we tell our children, you know, we want you to do X, Y, and Z. Meanwhile, we don't do that. We ask our children, talk respectfully, we don't talk respectfully. Shtayim ushlosha shofaros, we also talk out of two sides of our mouth. We're not always consistent in the way we want things to be in our homes and things to be with ourselves. So that's also something to think about on Rosh Hashanah. We should be shofar echad amar achmana. We should think about being consistent, about always making sure that we have a clear mission and a clear view of what we are doing and where we're supposed to be going. So now the Mishnah goes into a second half of halachas, which are very unusual halachas. Normally we blow the shofar in the shul, everyone's paying attention, everyone's crowding around. We don't have cases like the Mishnah describes here. But the Rishonim say the reason why these cases are given is because there were, unfortunately, many times in Jewish history where they were told they weren't allowed to perform mitzvahs, they weren't allowed to blow a shofar, people were afraid for their lives, so they had to go in hiding and blow a shofar somewhere. You're not going to blow a shofar in the middle of the desert, in the middle of the forest, where everyone's going to hear you, they're going to catch you. So they went, hatokeh letoch habor. They went, they all crowded around a little pit, they all were hiding over there, everyone's covering over the pit because they don't want anyone to hear, and somebody goes and blows a shofar into the pit. Why are you doing such a strange thing? Not because you're a strange person, but rather because talking about a time when there were pogroms, when nobody was allowed to perform mitzvah. So the Rishonim say they have to come up with all kinds of ways that they can do the mitzvah. So you have somebody who blows into a pit, or l'toch hadus, or l'toch hapitas. It means you blow into some sort of vessel, some sort of bathtub, or some sort of barrel, whatever it is. You're doing it into something which is not the normal way to blow the shofar. Im kol shofar shama. If you're standing over the pit and you're able to discern, you're able to hear the shofar itself. Then yatsa. Why should it be any worse than hearing shofar and shul? That's fine. Vim kol havara shama, but let's say you hear, havara means the echo, because often when you blow into a hollow area, you're going to hear an echo. So if you hear the echo and not the shofar itself, Lo yatzah, you're not going to be able to fulfill your mitzvah because that is not the real shofar. And therefore, you're not able to do the mitzvah that way. V'chein, mishay over achori beis hakneses. Let's say you have somebody who lives behind the shul. Now, somebody asked me this question. Somebody said they actually live next door to the shul. And they said on Rosh Hashanah, the shul does not leave the air conditioner on because they live in a place where it's not so hot. So all the windows are open. This woman told me she has young children. She doesn't like to go to shul because it's a big pain in the neck to leave the kids with someone else and whatever to make a shift. She wants to know, can she go to the window and just listen when they blow the shofar? She knows around what time they're going to hear. Can she go to the window, just listen to the shofar from her own house? So you think the Mishnah is not relevant? It is relevant. Someone actually asked me the Shaila this year that they wanted to know whether or not they're able to do that. So the Gemara says as follows. Mishaya over achori beis hakneses. You have somebody who is being over achori beis hakneses. So my example is not really exactly the same. Because over here we're talking about somebody who happens to be walking down the street. Oshaya beis osamach beis hakneses. Or if you have somebody, mamish my case, somebody who lives next door to shul and they want to, instead of getting a babysitter, they're going to say, we're going to go, stand by the window at the time of tkiyah shofar, we're going to hear everything. Vishama kol shofar or kol megillah. So the Mishnah says that depends. So over here, you're not hearing an echo. You're not hearing a second-hand shofar. You're hearing it directly, the same way everybody else in shul is hearing it. So what should be the problem? Im kivin libo, the Mishnah says, if you have in mind to be yotze the mitzvah of shofar, then yotze. Why shouldn't you be yotze? Yotze the same way everybody else sitting in shul is yotze. You're yotze sitting in your house. What's the problem? However, im lav, if you don't have specific intent, let's say the woman is sitting on the couch, and she happens to be watching the baby. Now she overhears the shofar being blown in the other room, but she doesn't have intent to be yotze the mitzvah. So in a case like that, lo yotze. You wouldn't be able to be yotze the mitzvah. And this is going to lead us into a whole discussion in the further Gemara about mitzvah srichas kavana, or mitzvah sein srichas kavana. Does a person actually have to have in mind when they perform a mitzvah or not? Should we assume that even just listening to the shofar should be good enough? I don't have to have specific intent in order to fulfill my mitzvah blowing shofar. It should be good enough. Otherwise, there is a higher level of kavana. So general kavana means that I have to have in mind that I'm doing the mitzvah of blowing shofar on Rosh Hashanah. That's simple kavana. That's the discussion that the Gemara is going to have, whether mitzvahs trichas kavana or not. Do mitzvahs require me to have specific intent while I do them or not? There's a heightened level of kavana that applies as well, which is very important to know for us and every day of our lives, because the Gemara has a Maseches Sukkah, a very strange machlokas. Was the Sukkah in Kibas Sukkahs or Shavtis Bnei Yisrael, right? Laman Yedidur Asechem, thank you. That all the generations should know Kibas Sukkahs or Shavtis Bnei Yisrael. So the Gemara wants to know, what kind of Sukkahs are we talking about? What kind of huts do they sit in? Are those Sukkahs Mamish or those Hanani Akaba? What's the difference? Sukkahs Mamish, Hanani Akaba, who cares what it was? Madahabe Habe, whatever happened. What? Who cares who built it? Why is that relevant? So the tour, okay, so it's Haggadah to Gemara, fighting about what happened in times of the desert. The tour weighs in on the issue. The tour says, we paskin like one side. What do you mean? Since when? So the Bach has the question. Since when does the tour all of a sudden paskin like an Haggadah to Gemara? Haggadah is having a machlokas whether what happened in the desert was something that was Sukkos Mamish or was Anani HaKavod. Okay, so it's an Haggadah to Gemara. Very nice. You learn whatever drasha you want to learn from that. But the tour has to bring down the drasha lahalacha? Why is that relevant to the halacha process at all? So the Bach writes, it must be, that there are some times in the Torah where the Torah says something like leman yedu, which means that you have to have specific intent for the mitzvah that you're doing. Over there you need an added level of kavana on top of the regular kavana that you always have to have. So we generally assume mitzvah srichas kavana. We generally assume you need to have a baseline kavana when you're performing a mitzvah d'oraisa. You need to have a baseline kavana that I'm doing the mitzvah that I'm supposed to be doing. Okay, so that should have been good enough. I'm sitting in the sukkah, I'm doing the mitzvah I'm supposed to be doing, I'm having in mind that this is what I'm supposed to do now. Says the Bach, it's not good enough. Because over here the Torah says, Laman yedu darasechem. While you're sitting in the sukkah, you have to also keep in mind why it is that I'm doing it. Because back in the days of the Midbar, the Jewish people sat either in Anani HaKavod or in the sukkah's mamash, and that's why the Torah brings us down the halacha. Again, the Bach says, because in a case like that, you have to actually keep in mind not only the baseline kavana of doing the mitzvah itself, but a secondary kavana as well of why I'm doing the mitzvah. I'm doing the mitzvah because something happened many, many years ago, and that's what I'm commemorating. So the Bach now comes up with a chiddush that there are three mitzvahs that we perform that we have to not only think about the mitzvah itself, but we also have to have an added kavana. Those mitzvahs are? Tefillin, tzitzis, and sukkah. So how many people, when they put on the tefillin, we're lucky if we're thinking about anything when we put the tefillin on. Mitzvah Tzrichas Kavana, the baseline Kavana, everybody has to have. But you also have to have, says the Bach, a secondary Kavana, which is, why am I putting on the tefillin? Why am I putting on the tefillin? Because it's supposed to remind us of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Okay, you have to start paying attention in the morning. This is why some people say the parshas of the tefillin in the morning, because it's very hard for us to pay attention. Maybe it'll be a little easier if we say the parsha tefillin, but if we're coming in late already, we certainly don't have time to say the parshas of the tefillin, so we run into issues. So again, something to consider, that not only do we have an opportunity and an obligation to say that mitzvah srichas kavani, you have to keep in mind that I'm doing the mitzvah tefillin, which is hard enough for us to keep in mind, we also have to have a secondary kavana, that not only am I doing the mitzvah, but there's a reason why I'm doing the mitzvah. And tzitzis also, how many people, we put on tzitzis every day, who thinks about why we're putting on the tzitzis? So this is the bach, it's a very important bach to keep in mind. And it stems from our sugya, as we'll see in the coming weeks, that mitzvah srichas kavana is a very important idea. So again, the Baal Tokeh has a mind to be motzi, anyone who's paying attention. Yeah, anyone who's listening. Yeah, so people, you're supposed to, some people say something before. L'shem Yichud. Yeah, I have to check it up again. What? I think it's Ananei HaKavod. Yeah, I think it's Ananei HaKavod. Because otherwise, what was the miracle? Yeah, the Tur Paskins, I think it was Ananei HaKavod. We'll have to check it up before Sukkot, remind me. So anyway, let's look at the last line in the Mishnah here. So we have this person who lives in the shul, right in the house right next to the shul. She doesn't want to have a babysitter, so she goes ahead. She wants to listen while the Baal Tokeh is blowing the shofar. Says the Mishnah, good enough. No problem, as long as she has kavanah, as long as she has intent that she wants to be able to say the mitzvah. Now the Mishnah ends off. Even though the person inside of the shul heard as well, and the person outside of the shul who was walking by also heard, zeh kivan libo, vizeh lo kivan libo. So what's going on here? What's going on here? What kind of thing is this? Afal pi shezeh shama vizeh shama. So I have two people walking by the shul at the same time. One of them has kavana that they want to be yotzei the mitzvah. One of them does not have kavana. They just happen to hear it. So one of them is going to be yotzei, one not. Why? Because one of them is having in mind, and one of them is not. And what you see from here is mitzvah strichas kavana. So the Radvaz points out in a tshuva, very important point. The Radvaz points out, why is our Mishnah talking about contrasting the two people who are walking by the shul? So the Mishnah says, if you have two people walking by the shul, one person is paying attention while he's walking by, and one person is not. He's spacing out, like most of us do. So the one is paying attention, fulfills his obligation. The one who's not paying attention does not. Why don't you contrast it with the guy in shul who's spacing out? So I could have said, because who would ever space out in shul? No such thing. But the Radvaz is imagining there are such people. We've met such people that are not paying attention in the middle of the Kiyas Shofar. So why not contrast the person walking outside with the person who's sitting inside of shul and also not paying attention? Oh, so the Radvaz says a very important chiddush halacha, which is really important, I think, because many people that we know really don't pay attention to the tkiyah shofar the way they're supposed to, and really don't have kavana the way they're supposed to. How many people, before we sit down to tkiyah shofar, we all say l'lam natseach, nobody knows what l'lam natseach means anyway, but who's saying the hinni mucham mazuma? Nobody, unless you're a chassidish yid, nobody's saying the hinni mucham before shofar. So how many people are really having in mind, I want to have kavana now to be yotzei with the Baal Tokeh? So in some shuls, they started to make an announcement before tkiyah shofar, everyone should have in mind to be yotzei with the Baal Tokeh. Right? Why do we do that? This is why. But not every shul does that. So what happens if I daven in a regular shul where they don't make such an announcement? And I'm just spacing out in the middle of davening, but I'm listening and I'm attentive and I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do. I'm just not having in mind. So the answer is, says the Radvaz, a very important chiddush, because stam das is lishma. Because when a person is just sitting in shul, not thinking anything else, so we assume, since there's nothing else on your mind, you just happen to be sitting in shul the whole day, this is what you're going to do, this is what you're occupied with. So the Radvaz says a chiddush, if you're sitting in shul, we have the right to assume stam das is going to be yotzei the mitzvah. Even if the person doesn't have specific intent. However, when you have a person who's walking by in the street, or a person who's a next-door neighbor watching the baby, so your stam das is not to be yotzei the mitzvah. You happen to be, your stam das is to get to your destination. Your stam das is to be watching your children, is to be doing a million other things that you're doing. And therefore, the Radvaz argues That's the case where you need to have kavana specifically to be yotzei the mitzvah. Why? Because if not, we assume that the default kavana is not to be yotzei. The default is you're in a million other places. But when you have somebody who's sitting in shul, the default position is that I want to pay attention and I want to be a part of everything that's going on. And therefore, even if a person might not have specific intent to be yotzei the mitzvah of tkiyas shofar, the Radbaz argues, you still will be able to be yotzei your mitzvah regardless, because you are able to say that stam das of a person sitting in shul is going to be the shema. And I think that's a very, very big savior for many of us, that we sit in shul. I don't believe that everybody in shul is always going to make sure to pay attention and say, this is really why I'm listening to tekiyah shofar, because I want to perform the mitzvah. So the Radbaz sort of saves us, because he says, anyone who's sitting in shul and paying attention and following along with the davening, the assumption is that they are also having stam das, which is going to be lishma. Right, isn't that what we're saying?
No, you're saying
I think we're saying a person who's in the context of dominating the shul, so the understanding is that they probably...
Is there a different level of saying, oh, in addition to dominating, I'm doing the shofar? I'm saying the whole process should be viewed as one...
Okay, but let's say you have a woman who runs into shul, she sees on the announcements it says tekiyah shofar is 11 o'clock.
That's right.
So she's not davening, but she's there on time and she's listening to everything else. So
okay, that could be different. I'm just saying, because that's different. You're not, she didn't start the process.
No, so I think the Radvaz's chiddush is, even somebody like that who missed the whole davening, but lamaisa, now they're sitting in shul and they're with everybody else, I think we have the right to assume that it's...
But it goes to what we said last week, that the davening is more for trumpet blowing. It's once a year, you're always focused in on it.
Right.
More or less week.
Right.
The same thing here is, you're in shul, and you're in shul because you know it's Rosh Hashanah. You know,
right, but if you're outside of shul?
If you're outside of shul, you're just walking by.
So your mind is in another place.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good.
Meaning? How far can you extend stam das? Is it only in shul and only for davening, or can you extend it to other areas as well?
Like?
Kiddush, for example.
That what?
You're not paying attention, but you're in the same room with the person making kiddush, and you're
yotzei. Yeah. I think so. Look, Kiddush is a mitzvah d'oraisa. Also, we really should say, strictly speaking, that mitzvah sviches kavana.
Right.
How many people sit down to Kiddush Friday night and say, oh, I really want to be yotzei the mitzvah of Kiddush? I don't think most people do. So I think the Radvaz's answer is a very important answer, l'halacha, because the Radvaz is teaching us that if you're sitting around and everybody's performing the mitzvah the way they're supposed to, the stam das is that a person is having kavana to be yotzei the mitzvah. That's the default.
So,
well, Kiddush is not such a good example because you need Kiddush Makom Suda, so you have to have a little bit more of a formality. But otherwise, you know, other mitzvahs. Okay. Okay. Anyway, so we're just going to stop for Myra, but Amir Tzashem, we will continue next week.